blessings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning will be taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, the third chapter. And I'm going to read from verse 10 through verse 31. That's Romans, the third chapter. And I'll be reading this morning from verse 10 and reading down to verse 31. And we'll read then as follows in the name of our Lord. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. And again, Father, our prayer is that you would bless this word. That, Father, it would be simply through the declaration of this that sinners would be called on to repentance. That we would be reminded of our great need. And that, Father, this morning you would show us the victory that you have accomplished for us through your Son. So sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. Well, if you're familiar at all with church calendar, you perhaps recognize the readings this morning from Psalm 46 and also from Romans 3. Because this is a day that we remember the Reformation. Reformation Sunday is the Sunday that we observe the time, or the date at least, of when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany, which actually happened on October 31st in the year of 1517, which would be this coming Saturday, if we're going to remember the exact day. But this is a Sunday that we set aside time to observe that, and it was good that we sang A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. because Martin Luther actually penned that hymn after reading Psalm 46 and perhaps coming to an understanding at some point. I don't know if it was at this point in his life, but at least one point, at one point in his life, he would make the, God would reveal to him, perhaps is a better way of saying it, justification by faith and by faith alone. When the Reformation started, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door, it wasn't his intention to create division in the church. He had no thought of that at all, in fact, when you read the history books. He was simply speaking out against things that were taking place within the Roman church of his day, where they were bringing forth these indulgences and saying, well, if you purchase these indulgences for in memory of your loved one, well, then perhaps you would purchase your loved one out of purgatory, so they wouldn't have to be in purgatory for such a long time. They could actually be restored to heaven. And Martin Luther said, well, that's anti-scriptural. That's against the Word of God. And so when he nailed these 95 theses to the door, his whole intention was simply to bring this to the table. We need to talk about this. What exactly is going on within the church? Why are we doing things that aren't according to the Word at all? And that then really becomes the cry of the Reformation, which actually, the cry hasn't stopped. You know, though we may historically remember Reformation Sunday and the act of Martin Luther, really what we talk about when we look at the Reformation is this idea now of the Scripture being set forth as the sole rule and norm for Christian doctrine and living. And so this is what you read about when you talk about Reformation. You talk about the five solas, which is just a Latin word, where you have sola scriptura, which simply means it's by Scripture alone, and sola fidei, if I'm saying that correctly, I don't know if I am, which is by faith alone, sola gratia, which is by grace alone. And then there are two other ones that are often referred to as well, which is sola Christos, by Christ alone, and sola Deo gloria, which is to the glory of God alone. And that's not like some sort of thing that has faded off into oblivion. It's not like that concept now is just something we look at or think that Martin Luther taught for a little while and no longer applies. That's why I think it's so important for us to again look at the Reformation text. I actually preached this text this morning on the radio already. Well, I preached it, you know, like earlier this week, and I brought it to the radio station, and some of you perhaps listened to it. But I thought it would be good for us as the church gathered here, because I don't know how many people actually listen to the radio, the Echoes of Mercy radio program from this church. I'm not sure. So you're going to hear this text again this morning, if you listened already. But it's important for us to again wrestle with this concept. And I say wrestle because we do. It's important for us to wrestle with what Martin Luther wrestled with. How is one justified in the sight of a holy and just God? How does that take place now in my life? And this is what he wrestled with. How in the world am I ever going to make it? Because God is just and holy, his law is just and holy, and how am I ever going to make it into heaven when all I find myself doing is continuing to offend my brothers? And so Martin Luther, as you know, I probably shared this before, when he would see one of his fellow monks coming toward him, he would be confessing sin all the time. Because he couldn't get himself to recognize, he couldn't get himself justified enough in the sight of God. And so this is what he would do, confess sin, to the point it is said, at least in the history books, that when the fellow monks seen him coming, they would find another pathway or hallway to quickly escape down. They got tired of it. Until Martin Luther, and you can read his words, And perhaps I should have taken him up with me this morning until he understood out of Romans 1, the just shall live by faith. You know what's interesting? Martin Luther, in the words, in his quotations, so he obviously said this, he said, when these words opened up to me, suddenly heaven's doors themselves were swung wide open. Because he recognized a very important thing, which I hope you leave here this morning with. The just shall live by faith. That is the only thing that swings the doors of heaven wide open for us. It is nothing else. And this is really where Paul brings us to in this letter this morning to the Romans. I read for you from verse 10, but actually the whole dialogue starts all the way in verse 1 of chapter 1, where he runs us all the way down to this point, basically making this point evident and plain. All are guilty. Whether you are a Jew and under the law, you are guilty, or you are a Gentile who hasn't heard the law, you are guilty. None has done good, no, not one. There is not one who can justify himself in the sight of a just and holy and righteous God. We are condemned to hell. Because that's where the law brings you. The condemnation is what the law brings, and this is what he brings out. Everyone finds in that their condemnation. There is no hope at all. And you are simply in a whole lot of misery. Because the law reveals for you exactly who you are. You are a sinner. But that's actually a good thing. It's actually the good thing for you to recognize that you're a sinner. It's actually when you're on the other side of that, that it becomes bad. Where you stand up in your own self-righteousness and begin to say, well, no, actually, I'm pretty good. Yeah, I know it says here there's none that do good, there's no one that seeks after God, but actually, you should have seen last week. I helped a lot of old ladies across the street. I perhaps raked my neighbor's lawn, cleaned out my neighbor's gutters. I did lots of nice deeds and acts. I must be good. That can't be correct, what Paul is saying. How is that correct? I drive the speed limit most of the time. I listen to the laws of the land most of the time. I don't always blow my top at my children or my wife or husband. There's got to be some good in me. And we wrestle with that. I mean, don't you wrestle with that? Or do you just say, yep, I agree. I'm just a horrible, rotten, no good wretch. We wrestle with that, and we wrestle with it tremendously. And this is what is supposed to take place in this letter. Paul brings us to this point where we have to understand ourselves as simply dead. He says, by the law, in verse 19, I'm not going to go through that whole list again for you, but in verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why? Because no one is able to fulfill or do the deeds of the law. There is not one person living in this world that is able to do it. And you see, this is where it gets good. Because quite honestly, people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that I'm not a good person. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. In his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Then he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or made plain. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And you see what he does here. He says, no one escapes the condemnation of the law. No one. There isn't one person who will be born or who has been born who escapes that condemnation. But he says also, there is no one who is somehow exempt from the grace of God in Christ Jesus. The law has brought you to the end of yourselves, has showed to you that you are a sinner, but the grace of God now shows you what has taken place for you in Christ Jesus. You see, because there was one that was good. There was one who fulfilled the law in all of its perfection. There was one who actually was able to obey all the statutes and the commandments and the letter of the law. And that was Jesus the Christ. And this is where he brings us to. Because he says, this is now where you find your justification. You can help little old ladies across the street all of your life. You can clean out gutters. You can do whatever it is that you do that you find and justify yourself with. And none of that is meaningless, or all of that is meaningless without Christ. Do you realize when the church recognized this, when the church was established and founded upon Christ and begin to understand itself in Christ as good in him, the church is the one who began to establish all of the charitable organizations in this world and hospitals, and all of that came into being through the church. Because the church recognized that the goodness of God now dwelt within them. It wasn't something that they brought in and of themselves. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, whether they're Jew or whether they're Gentile, there is no difference. All who believe in Jesus Christ are justified. They are made right in the sight of a holy and just God. For he says, they all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Paul is really redundant in this passage. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's time for us to stop trying so hard. You see, that may sound kind of silly, but it's simply the truth. We have been justified freely by the grace of God. Christ Jesus has purchased us. He has redeemed us. That's all that redemption means. He has bought us back because of our plight, because we were not good, because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Christ came to buy us back, to purchase us out of that predicament and to place us solidly and firmly into his grace. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. And you see, that's really what the church is all about. That's where these solas begin to work themselves out in our life. When we begin to understand it's by grace alone, by faith alone, by the word alone, by Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, that I find my all in all. That I find my justification. God has set forth him to be a propitiation. Big word. All it really means is a covering. The propitiation, if you trace the word into the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it simply meant or referred to the covering that was placed over the Ark of the Covenant. And basically all Paul is doing is using this same terminology, propitiation, to say that Christ has now become our covering. He covers us by his blood. You see, everything has changed for us when we understand that we have been justified by faith and by faith alone. Then we understand what it really means to live, because otherwise we find ourselves in bondage. And that was the other passage for this Sunday, and I was wrestling where to preach from for today, whether John 8 or Romans. He says, we have been set free now. We have been justified by his blood. He covers us now. We have been made right. We have been made good, actually. But not in and of ourselves. No, he says, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins, or the forgiveness of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. You see, don't miss that. Through the forbearance of God, through God's patience, God's long suffering toward us, he now has justified us by the work of his Son. We have been made right in his eyes. Do you get tired of hearing that? Is that like old news? I hope it isn't. Because this is what we stand on as a church. And that's all we have. We have nothing else. We stand in the righteousness of the one who has made us just, who himself is just and is the justifier of us all. And this is what he says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So is Jesus enough? I think you know the answer. It is his righteousness now that we now stand in. So sinner, listen to me. Because that's what I'm talking to, is a whole bunch of sinners. Listen to me this morning. Listen to the word of the scripture, maybe is better said. You have been made righteous and just by God himself. You now stand in that righteousness. Why? Because you believe in this Jesus who has made you clean by his own work, who has shed his blood for you. So what are you going to boast in? Are you going to boast in your abilities? Are you going to boast in the works that you have done? Or are you simply going to see that as kind of an offshoot of who you are now in Christ? Where is boasting then? By the law? Or he says, where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No. No, we already concluded that that doesn't work. But by the law or the principle of faith. Interestingly, someone came up to me a few weeks ago, and that we had a couple funerals in a row here, and in one of those funerals that I was preaching at, someone was up in the balcony up there, a visitor, and they said, oh, he's one of those faith guys. I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting thing. This lady came up to tell me this. Well, he's one of those faith guys. I said, well, I guess that maybe that's a compliment. I'm not sure. But that's what we are. We live by faith in this world. We understand that we have been justified by faith. There's nothing that you and I contribute to our salvation. It has been done for us 2,000 years ago or so on the cross of Calvary when God declared through the resurrection of his son that he had accepted that sacrifice. It was done once and for all. And that's all we need to come to. This is where Luther had to come to, who was a great scholar who knew the scriptures inside and out, and he wrote many, many, many things, which he said maybe we should burn most of them. Why? Why would he say such a statement? Well, I don't know exactly why, except for perhaps he was looking at the word again and saying this is what people need to hear. And in fact, Luther, of course, as you know, was a huge proponent of getting the Bible into the hands of the laity, which is just a term that means for the common people. I don't know if that's a good way to say it either. Why, you're not common? Perhaps maybe the thought out there. But for the everyday person, the person who isn't schooled, as it were, in the word, or who simply hasn't been called into that profession by God himself. So he says, by what law? But by the principle or the law of faith. And then he has this great statement. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We conclude, Paul, in writing this, says, this is the conclusion that we come to. We are justified by faith. Do you understand that this morning? See a lot of sleepy eyes. Because this is usually how it is. One of my fellow clergymen, this is what he says. When you stand up and preach about justification by faith, everybody goes to sleep. Because we hear this terminology all the time, we just don't really wrestle. We don't think about what this actually means for us. It's just like church jargon. That's what you say, justification by faith. Okay, well, whatever that means. Now get on to the good stuff. Start preaching to us about what we need to do or how we are to conduct our lives or about our marriages or something else. But don't talk about this justification by faith when in fact that is what you need. And that's what I need. We need to understand this over and over and over again in our lives, because we are so tempted to run off into something else instead of simply understanding the clear declaration of the Word of God, which simply tells us we have been saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So he says, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. This same justification applies for all. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. It's all by faith. Yeah, but it's all by faith. Yeah, but it's all by faith. Yeah, but no. Are you not listening? It's all by faith. You are justified by faith apart from the works of the law. The law simply had its function and its purpose, but now Christ has fulfilled the law, and that's what this last verse is all about. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We understand the law in the right way. It is not there for our justification. It can't do that work. Why can't it do that work? Because it was made weak. How is it made weak? Through the flesh. Read Romans chapter 8 and you will see that there. Paul says, the works of the law are made weak by the flesh. Therefore, we needed to be directed and led by something else, and that is the Spirit of God. We have been now taken out of condemnation and justified freely by His grace. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you hear that? I told you at the beginning of this message, all of us are condemned by the law. But we no longer stand in condemnation. The condemnation has been taken out of the way. The judgment of death and hell has been taken off of us. And we now live, as it were, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Do we make the law void? No. We simply understand it properly. We establish it. We understand it as fulfilled in Christ. And Paul is not going to go away from that. You can read the rest of this, and you will see that he brings this out over and over. He talks about faithful Abraham. He goes into the fifth chapter, talks about, again, this idea of us being made right by the one man, Jesus Christ. He goes into chapter 6, and he talks about now us being dead and now also alive in Christ Jesus. And over and over and over he goes to make this point hard and fast, that you and I would understand our justification is in one place and in one place alone. And then we can sing, a mighty fortress is our God, even if we don't like it, because we understand what he's talking about. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. And notice there's a line in there, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but there's a line that in there that says something along this lines, though all the world with devils filled, if all these things came against us, he said, they would have no power over us. Why? Because we stand on the five solas. By faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, by the word alone, through Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again this morning that you show us where our salvation is. You show us where we have been justified and made right. You show us over and over again of your Son. And so this morning, we ask that you would be with us. That, Father, by the power of your Spirit, you would continue to reveal justification by faith and faith alone to our oft-doubting hearts. So that, Father, we could again, with Martin Luther and the many others who have gone on before us, who have found their justification by faith, we also, with the eyes of faith, would see the heaven's doors wide open, and we would see there, Father, you beckoning us to you through the work of your Son. So, Father, grant unto us your grace, grant unto us your mercy and your kindness, and guide and direct us as we go throughout our lives, as you have poured out your Holy Spirit even upon us, so that we would make the right decisions, we would do the right things, we would actually be good as we live out our lives in this world, as you, Father, have given us the ability to do so. So thank you, Father, for this gift, the gift of salvation and the gift of your Son. For we ask it all in his holy name. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.